BBC World Service, it's 7 hours GMT. Welcome to Weekend with me, Paul Henley. Fidel Castro, the former president of Cuba, has died. He was 90. The announcement was made by his brother, Raul Castro, who succeeded him as president in 2006.
Querido pueblo de Cuba, con profundo dolor, con
people of Cuba. It is with deep sadness that I am appearing to announce to our people, to our friends in the Americas and the world, that today, the 25th of November, 2016, at 10:29 in the evening, died the commander-in-chief of the Cuban Revolution, Fidel Castro.
El comandante en jefe de la Revolución Cubana.
In this extended program to mark his death, we'll be looking back at the life of Fidel Castro. That's here on Weekend.
I'm Stuart McIntosh with the BBC News. Hello. Cuban state television has announced that Fidel Castro, the leader of the Cuban Revolution, has died. He was 90 years old. The announcement was made by his brother, the current president, Raul Castro.
Digo, pueblo de Cuba, con profundo dolor.
Dear people of Cuba, it is with deep sadness that I am appearing to announce to our people, to our friends in the Americas and the world, that today, the 25th of November, 2016, at 10:29 in the evening, died the commander-in-chief of the Cuban Revolution, Fidel Castro Ruz.
El comandante en jefe de la Revolución Cubana, Fidel Castro Ruz.
Fidel Castro established a communist state in Cuba after ousting the dictator Fulgencio Batista in 1959. The island became a focal point of anti-American defiance. Here's Will Grant in Havana. After a lifetime spent loudly berating U.S. imperialism, Fidel Castro, perhaps the world's last true Cold War warrior, passed away quietly in Havana. His brother, President Raul Castro, who took over the reins of power in 2006, announced the death of the elderly communist leader in an unexpected late-night broadcast on state television. Ashen and grave, President Castro told the nation that Fidel Castro had died and would be cremated on Saturday. There will now follow several days of national mourning. Barring the occasional newspaper column, Fidel Castro had essentially been retired from political life for some time. But throughout the Cold War, he was Washington's bête noire. An accomplished tactician on the battlefield, he and his small army of guerrillas overthrew the military leader Fulgencio Batista in 1959 to widespread popular support. But his real achievement lay in his longevity. Within 2 years of taking power, he declared the revolution to be Marxist-Leninist and allied the island nation firmly to the Soviet Union. Yet despite the constant threat of a U.S. invasion, as well as the long-standing economic embargo on the island, Fidel Castro managed to maintain a communist revolution in a nation just 90 miles off the coast of Florida. Unwavering to his socialist ideals to the last, Fidel Castro defined modern Cuba for almost six decades. Despised by his critics as much as he was revered by his followers, he outlasted 10 U.S. presidents and defied scores of attempts on his life by the CIA. Cuban exiles have been gathering late at night in the U.S. city of Miami to discuss the news. Our reporter Luis Fajardo is there.
This is a city that, of course, has hundreds of thousands of people who blame Fidel Castro very personally for the enormous change that occurred in their lives when they had to move to the U.S. as exiles. So this is a moment that's going to be of huge emotions here in Miami.
World News from the BBC. In 2006, ill health led Fidel Castro to hand power to his brother Raul. So Fidel remained in overall authority until 2008, when he ceded power permanently to Raul. Here's our correspondent, James Menendez.
The beard, the cigar, the olive-green fatigues, they helped make him a unique Cold War figure. Castro turned his back on a wealthy upbringing to lead one of the most successful guerrilla campaigns in history. In 1959, he established a communist outpost in Washington's backyard and paraded anti-American defiance for more than four decades. The Cuban Missile Crisis was perhaps the most combustible flashpoint of the Cold War, but Castro's greatest challenge was the disappearance of his Soviet benefactor before ill health forced him to hand over the reins of power to his brother in 2006. For opponents, including the Cuban exile community, his legacy was a backward and isolated economy and a record of human rights abuses. But for others, he was a colorful Cold War icon. He did bequeath Cuba world-class healthcare, and for many Cubans, he was always simply Fidel.
One Cuban exile group, the Cuban Democratic Directorate, has been giving its reaction to Fidel Castro's death. Orlando Gutierrez founded the organization.
I regret that this criminal never faced a tribunal for all the crimes he committed against his own people. This is a man who leaves a legacy of intolerance, of setting up a family-run dictatorship, which had no tolerance for anyone who thought differently, who set up a vicious totalitarian regime where people were persecuted for the most slight deviation from official ideology.
One other news story, 25,000 police have been deployed in the South Korean capital, Seoul, where another huge protest is about to take place to demand the resignation of President Park Geun-hye. She faces impeachment by parliament after prosecutors said she knew about an allegedly corrupt scheme by a friend. BBC News.
Welcome, the time is 7.06 GMT. This is Weekend from the BBC World Service with me, Paul Henley, and today it's a special program marking the death of Fidel Castro, former president of Cuba. With me are our two guests, Joe Wilding, who's a practicing barrister specializing in immigration and refugee law and a research fellow at the University of Brighton in southern England, and John Jungklassen, who is London correspondent for the German weekly Deed Sight. And what you two don't know about Cuba, Dr. Stephen Wilkinson does. He's chairman of the International Institute for the Study of Cuba at London Metropolitan University and editor of the International Journal of Cuban Studies. He's joining us for the foreseeable program, for future on the program as well. So Fidel Castro, the former president of Cuba, has died. He was 90. In this program marking his death, we'll be looking back at the life of the man whose image as a revolutionary leader resonated far beyond Cuba. Fidel Castro remained in power for nearly 50 years. He became president of Cuba on the 1st of January 1959 and formally handed over power to his brother Raúl on the 19th of February 2008. Although Cuba faced growing economic hardship after the collapse of communism in the former Soviet bloc, the president ensured that he was always firmly in control of the Caribbean island. The announcement of his death came from his brother Raúl Castro. Our correspondent James Menendez looks back now at the life of Fidel.
The beard, the cigar, the olive green fatigues. These will be enduring images of the late 20th century. They were the hallmarks of the world's longest serving communist ruler, the man who established the first Marxist-Leninist state in the Western Hemisphere, under the very noses of the Americans, and who outlasted all the Soviet leaders who became his patrons.
Dios Todopoderoso y Eterno, ayúdanos a llevar una vida según tu voluntad.
When Pope John Paul II visited Havana in 1998, his presence seemed to bestow a certain respectability on the rule of a man who had appeared to many the embodiment of the radical revolutionary. Fidel Castro was born in 1926. His father became a wealthy sugar planter. But he turned his back on all that to plot the overthrow of the corrupt and bloody rule of Fulgencio Batista. In 1953, he found himself in jail for his part in one abortive coup attempt. He was released, went to Mexico, and then returned to Cuba by boat with 100 followers. Most were killed or captured as soon as they got ashore. Barely a dozen escaped. But they took to the hills to launch one of the most successful guerrilla campaigns in history. In less than 2 years, he and his victorious followers were riding into Havana after the defeated Batista had fled. Alberto León was one of those who joined Castro in the mountains and was with him as the crowds of Havana came out to greet them.
All the church bells were ringing.
It was an incredible record.
It was complete liberation.
We were living a moment of great emotion.
A unique moment.
Initially, Castro denied he was a communist.
That is not communism or Marxism in our idea. Our political philosophy is representative democracy and social justice in a well-planned economy.
But democracy it was not. And some of his liberal followers spoke of betrayal as bit by bit he established a communist program and embraced the Soviet bloc. Relations with the United States had gone from bad to worse as the Castro government expropriated American-owned property. And in April 1961, the United States had sponsored a disastrous attempt by Cuban exiles to reinvade the country. The Bay of Pigs turned into a propaganda coup for Castro. Then in October 1962, Cuba became the eye of a superpower storm and a crisis that brought the world the closest it's ever been to nuclear war. President John F. Kennedy announced to the world that U.S. spy planes had photographed what looked like Soviet nuclear missile sites on Cuba.
Unmistakable evidence has established the fact that a series of offensive missile sites is now in preparation on that imprisoned island. The purpose of these bases can be none other than to provide a nuclear strike capability against the Western Hemisphere.
In the 10 days that followed, it was Moscow which backed down first, pulling its missiles out of Cuba in return for a secret U.S. undertaking to pull weapons out of Turkey. But as Castro continued to parade his defiance, he became uniquely vexing to Washington, a fact which prompted a bizarre catalogue of CIA assassination attempts and plots to subvert his rule. The plan to plant an exploding cigar was succeeded by a scheme that seemed even more outlandish, as one former CIA official explained.
This was a bright idea that if we got a certain powder to him, if he put it on, this would his beard would fall out and the Cuban people would fall over laughing and he would be ridiculed and go out. This was a measure of our desperation.
Muy estimado señor presidente, distinguidos representantes de la comunidad mundial.
Fidel Castro of the United Nations in 1979.
Digamos adiós a las armas.
Let us say farewell to arms. And let us, in a civilized manner, dedicate ourselves to the most pressing problems of our time. This is the responsibility. This is the most sacred duty of the statesmen of all the world. Moreover, this is the basic premise for human survival. I thank you.
From such platforms, he championed third world causes. He was also a leading light in the non-aligned movement. In truth, Cuba under Castro was very much aligned, as when he sent Cuban troops to support Marxist guerrillas in Africa. But in the end, his greatest challenge came not from the CIA, but from the collapse of his erstwhile benefactor, the Soviet Union. Economic aid dried up, and Cuba, still under U.S. blockade, faced economic ruin. In 1999, on the 40th anniversary of the Cuban Revolution, Castro was still lecturing his audience on the evils of capitalism. In the post-Cold War world, closer ties with oil-rich Venezuela and his then maverick leader Hugo Chavez, who saw Castro as an anti-US inspiration, in part made up for the missing Soviet subsidies. Illness forced Castro to hand over the reins of power to his younger brother Raul in 2006, and he stood down permanently as president in 2008. In 2013, he was quoted in a newspaper article as saying he hadn't expected to survive his illness for long. And there were a few public appearances in recent years. To most Cubans, he was simply Fidel. He bequeathed them universal free health care and an education system that produced a very high literacy rate, but also a creaking backward economy. And his human rights record has been widely criticized. So will history judge this leader of an island of just 11 million people as a figure of lasting significance, or as a curiosity who became an anachronism?
James Menendez reporting. This is the BBC World Service. Let's talk to Dr. Stephen Wilkinson, chairman of the International Institute for the Study of Cuba at London Metropolitan University. Stephen, welcome back. Perhaps you could start by explaining to those who might be slightly puzzled why so many media outlets, especially the BBC today, are devoting so much time to an ex-president of a currently communist country. Why he is such an important figure, Fidel Castro?
Well, it's a good question you're asking. I mean,
How did this relatively small country in the Caribbean become such a focal point in the first place? The fact is that Castro is a tremendous statesman. I mean, he will go down in history as one of the greatest statesmen of Latin America. And that's because he carried out this revolution and maintained communism right under the nose of the United States at the time of the Cold War. The adroitness of his statesmanship in being able to position himself at that particular juncture and also attain power at the height of the Cold War is one of the sort of key elements to understanding just how important he is as a figure. And I think it's testimony to the knowledge and understanding that news editors have that they're spending this amount of time that you're talking about him. There is an awareness that here is a significant historical figure. And of course, your obituary piece pointed out the moment in 62 when the world almost came to a nuclear war over the island. I mean, that puts the island in the public sphere and the psychological imprint, if you like, on the world's population at the time. And it remains a very significant moment in history. Incidentally, it's taught on the GCSE curriculum in all British schools. It's very much a part of the history of the 20th century, which provides a focus for historians, etc. So he was a centre-stage politician from a small country. They do say that, thanks to him, Cuba punches above its weight, and it still continues to do so. It is very much an outlier, you know. It does have these exceptional statistics in terms of healthcare and education, which make it stand out. If you look at any graph, Cuba, you know, with its GDP, should not have these levels of longevity and infant mortality. It's a country which is a startling contrast. You mentioned the poverty, but the fact that nobody starves, you know, it's an amazingly interesting place, and it's partly to do with the way in which he was able to make compromises, be pragmatic, keep looking at the long-term goal, making short-term deviations, but still keep, you know, the strategy moving forward. Tremendously able politician, and an amazing statesman. There's no doubt about it. And even his enemies have to accept the fact that he was an exceptional leader.
Stephen Wilkinson for the moment. Thanks. Joe Wilding is with us, practicing barrister, specialising in immigration and refugee law.